Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm in for Norman Gilliland, but I also have a special guest in the studio, and that is Evan Richards. He is bottle washer, cook, and everything else. You're a member of the board of directors and also the videographer and the webmaster and everything else for the Madison Savoy Yards. Welcome, Evan.
Well, thank you for having me. And yes, it's a volunteer organization, so everybody does lots of things. So we're all poobahs and do lots of jobs.
That's a good word to use for the topic of your productions, which is Gilbert and Sullivan operettas. And you've been around now for 50, you're starting your 52nd season?
This will be the 52nd summer production.
Wow. So
it all started in 1963 with Iolanthe.
And what do you attribute the longevity of the organization to? Why has it been so successful and so long-lived?
Well, in some ways, it's sort of magic, and we really don't know. But I think it's the undying appeal of Gilbert and Sullivan. There is just all kinds of talent in this community.
That there is.
And so we have lots of musicians and very wonderful cast members and singers and who can act, which is critical for Gilbert and Sullivan, and all of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, the technical things. Madison is full of that too. It's a very active theater community, so we're just in the right spot for this.
You really are, and it strikes me that Gilbert and Sullivan is not just about the music. It's very much a multimedia kind of a production. As you say, there's acting and the costumes and everything else that surrounds it, as well as the music.
That's right. It's well, it really started its own genre. The motivation back then was to have English opera, English comic opera. And they were getting a little tired of importing Offenbach and putting on Pericles. So actually, Gilbert and Sullivan is groundbreaking in many ways. Once they started, the way they went about things and having kind of a repertory company, the same people that stayed on for years and years. So in the later works, roles were written for specific people.
To play to the strengths of the singers and actors,
right,
and so forth. Well, tell us about the production that's coming up.
It's Princess Ida, and it's one of the rare ones. You don't hear this very often. Actually, the Savoyards, this is our fourth production in the
Of Princess Ida?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Since we've started. Last time came around was in 1999. So if you want to see Princess Ida, best see it this summer. It might not be around for a little while. And that is because, well, frankly, the box office usually isn't as busy with the lesser known. And we do have to balance our books. So we'll do things like the Mikado and Pirates of Penzance and Pinafore a bit more often just to keep everything in the black, which we do. But we
One
also...
One reason for your longevity.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, if we can't pay the bills, it doesn't last very long. So Princess Ida is one of those that, well, fortunately, it's just an easy one to talk about because it actually is some of the best music that Sullivan wrote. Some people say it is his best work. And when you sit down and listen to it, it would be hard to argue.
Why don't we have a little excerpt and we'll listen in and then talk a little bit about the production afterwards. What would you like to start with?
Well, first one on the list here, if you give me your attention, that's King Gamma's patter song. Now, George Grossmith, who is the patter guy, considered that one of the best ever. Gilbert said, well, maybe one reason that's one of the best ever, it's kind of a self-portrait.
And these are so cleverly written, too, if you listen closely.
Right.
This is John Reed singing the role of King Gamma from Princess Ida by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Give me your attention. attention, I will tell you what I am. I'm a genuine philanthropist, all other kinds are sham. It's a little fault of temper and it's social defect. In my erring fellow creatures, I endeavor to correct. To all their little weaknesses, I open people's eyes. And little plans to snub the self-sufficient I devise. I love my fellow creatures, I do all the good I can. Yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man, and I can't think why. Compliments inflated, I've a withering reply. And vanity, I always do my best to mortify. A charitable action I can skillfully dissect. And interested motives I'm delighted to detect. I know everybody's income and what everybody earns. And I carefully compare it with the income tax returns. But to benefit humanity, however much I plan, yet everybody says I'm such a disagreeable man. And I can't think why. I'm sure I'm no ascetic, I'm as pleasant as can be. You'll always find me ready with a crushing repartee. I've an irritating chuckle, I've a celebrated sneer. I've an entertaining snigger, I've a fascinating leer. To everybody's prejudice, I know a thing or two. I can tell a woman's age in half a minute, and I do. But although I try to make myself as pleasant as I can, yet everybody says I am a disagreeable man, and I can't think why.
If you give me your attention, and by the way, that's the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra we're listening to.
In this recording, yes.
Yep, Sir Malcolm Sargent conducting, and we were talking during the music that you have a full pit orchestra for the production.
One of the founding principles of the group back in 1963 was to play it with an orchestra. When I was in high school and graduated in my early college years, it was not common to find amateur performances of Gilbert and Sullivan with an orchestra, usually with a piano.
Yeah.
Well, these people thought, quite correctly, that you don't get the full effect of Sullivan's creativity and his genius with a piano. So they started with an orchestra, and we've maintained that. We don't play cut down arrangements. If you go to the publishers, you can kind of, there's a menu. How many people do you have in your orchestra? 12? Well, here's an arrangement or whatever. No, we do the full orchestration. And in pieces like Yeoman of the Guard, where Sullivan wanted a darker timbre, added a third trombone and a bass clarinet. We got those extra musicians. So we play it like Sullivan wrote it.
Well, and he was a gifted orchestra composer. He just got beautiful colors for, and he was also known as a serious musician, and I believe was knighted by Queen Victoria for his work in what they would call then a more serious genre of classical music.
Well, yes, and that caused some tension. He was actually knighted in the year just before Princess Ida opened in 1883. Hmm. And he had a lot of friends telling him he should not be wasting his time with this fluff. The problem was that this fluff was a cash cow.
He was paying the bills.
Now, he also had a gig. He was a conductor at the Leeds Music Festival. And that was his serious outlet in the fall. Well, that was 300 guineas. I guess that's about a pound. I'm not sure. That would about handle one night at Monte Carlo's casino for Sullivan. So he needed to compose one of these things.
Was he a gambler?
Yes.
Oh.
No, his lifestyle was not very admirable,
not
to say
healthy,
the least.
Huh? Yeah. Well, he certainly wrote beautiful music, whatever the impetus.
He certainly did. And the serious side, well, he also loved the humor. And he had a sense of humor himself, of course. There's one, and it has, well, it sounds like a Handel aria. Hmm. If you have that number six item on our list, this helmet, I suppose. This is a trio of three fellows who aren't the brightest bulbs in the chandelier. They're King Gamma's sons, and they're going to have this big fight, but they kind of sound like the current Iraqi army. It's the helmet is hot, it weighs a lot, so off this helmet goes, and so on. So they're not really into actually fighting very much. But the music, while you're conveying this hilarious message, it sounds like an aria out of Handel.
Well, let's hear that. It's called This Helmet, I Suppose.
This helmet, I suppose, was meant to ward off blows. It's very hot and weighs a lot, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows. So off, so off that helmet goes. Tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mess. It's made of steel and weighs a deal. This tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mess. A man is but an ass who fights in a cuirass. So off, so off goes that cuirass. Its truth to tell may look uncommon well, but in a fight they're much too tight. They're like a lobster shell. They're like a lobster shell.
Yes, 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 they're like a lobster shell.
These things I treat the same, I quite forget their name. They turn one's legs to cribbage pegs. Their aid I thus disclaim. Their aid I thus disclaim. Though I forget their name, though I forget their name, their aid I thus disclaim.
This Helmet, I Suppose, from Princess Ida by Arthur Sullivan. Music by Arthur Sullivan. Words by the genius.
And his homage to Handel.
Yes, that really did sound kind of Handel-esque. Yeah. And we talk about the humor in these productions, but there's as much humor in the music as there is in the words, it seems like.
There is, and particularly in this one. The music is just, it's just incredible. It's hard to pick out when we have a half hour and time for a few, but you could just play any almost at random.
Mm. And you have a full chorus in the productions, right?
We do. It's, well, I think they try to get five or so per part, so it's a lot of people on a small stage.
And all in costume. And
yes.
Yes. Well, we should mention that the productions take place in Madison at Music Hall on the campus of the UW. And you just made an interesting point during the music about when that was built.
That was built in 1877, I believe. So it was fairly new when Princess Ida premiered. The Savoy Theater in London, I think, was sometime around 1870, because Patience moved from another theater into the Savoy. Iolanthe, which opened in 1882, was the first one that premiered at the Savoy Theater. So they're about the same age.
So it's a contemporary theater. It would have been of the type that was featured when they were writing for.
Well, the building, yeah, it got an extensive remodeling in more recent times, but the remodeling gives it a very Victorian feel about it. So it is the perfect spot, and it's an experience that is rare in musical theater, I think, for an audience to be that close that intimate and get all of this sound. It is wonderful.
It's a unique theater for that. It has wonderful acoustics, and you're right, the sound is very close to the stage. You get to be right in the action, and you said the pit is kind of down below, so the music sort of rises up, and it all comes together.
Works very well.
Yeah.
And our singers don't have to strain. It's not like they're trying to fill the Lyric Opera House.
Right.
For the voice.
Thankfully. Well, the subject matter of this production, like many of their other operettas, is a little bit pointed, a little bit of social commentary.
Well, it is, but it's...
Except,
It's very much misunderstood.
Is it?
You will find lots of reviews. You even go on to one of the popular online recording places, and the review gets it, well, in my opinion, all wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a kind of a battle of the sexes is how it's portrayed.
It is, but and on the surface, there's a lot of gentle fun poked at women's education. That was a new thing. I think they had established a couple of colleges, both at Cambridge and Oxford, not too long before this came about. And so there's the big theme here is the Princess Ida was betrothed when she was 2 or something like that to this Hilarion fellow. And she really didn't want any of that. So she goes off and starts this women's college. Well, they have a lot of fun with their rules and how they see things and so on. But this is one opera where you can see what Gilbert's intent was, because it's based on Tennyson's The Princess. Now, I'm not an English major, never was. I'm an engineer. So I just have to believe what people tell me about that. The changes that Gilbert makes from Tennyson's story are very telling, and how this comes out. For example, Princess Ida loses the battle to Hilarion, who she's betrothed, so he wins. And in the Tennyson piece, well, that's sort of it. The woman is conquered. In Gilbert's piece, Hilarion sets her free and says, well, you decide what you want to do. And she does, by that time there's an attraction. And so the point really is breaking free of all of these conventions and bonds that were set up by the previous generation. You know, Gilbert had strong women. They're the smart ones in a lot of these operas. So I think people get the gentle fun gets misunderstood. Mm. He has a lot of fun with things, but he also, I'm sure he had no problem with Darwin's evolutionary theories. That gets a great ride in this opera too. But he's not trying to poke fun at natural selection.
No, he was a forward thinker in a way, wasn't he? Kind of poking fun more at Victorian strictures than anything else.
He was an early adopter. He and Sullivan, not only how they did their business, but the Savoy Theater was the first electrically lit theater anywhere. During the run of Princess Ida, he had a telephone installed to his house.
Wow.
And he was getting the nightly receipts in code over the phone.
Wow, that is pretty progressive.
Yes. So, technology and all these new things were great. And they were coming fast in those days.
Yeah. We have time for about one more piece. What would you like to share?
How about We Are Warriors 3, those same three guys that we had. Donald Adams is one of the three, one of the great GNS singers. So
this is We Are Warriors 3 from Princess Ida.
From the days of sons of me. Masculine incense. Yes, 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 masculine incense.
We are Warriors 3 from Princess Ida, and that's featuring the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Princess Ida is the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta that is being produced by the Madison Savoyards. And you've got 7 shows coming up, right?
We open on Friday and Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And then next week, we'll add a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon.
That's a lot of work in a small amount of time.
It is.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
It's great fun.
It's one of those GNS productions, just lift you up. You leave feeling happy and with a smile on your face.
Well, Gilbert and Sullivan capture human nature. It's why does Shakespeare last so long? Same answer for Gilbert and Sullivan. And not so much in this one, but, a government official that's taking bribes and isn't competent? Gee, is that a common theme? So this is still pretty fresh material, usually.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
That's right.
Well, you can find information about this production and about the Savoyards at their website, which is madisonsavoyards.org, and for which my guest, Evan Richards, is the webmaster.
That's right.
And you can find tickets there and all of the information that you'll need.
Yes, the link to the ticket, the box office is right there. You can order online, and there are tickets available for every show. Some of them are getting a little scarce, but they're still there.
Great. With full orchestra, chorus, singers, costumes, everything. It'll be wonderful. Princess Ida by the Madison Savoyards. Well, Evan Richards, thanks for coming in again.
We appreciate seeing you
every year to tell us about what you've got going on.
And I hope to be here to talk about Mikado next year.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be excellent. Thank you very much.